Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
I made a passing comment that it's combine weekend. General managers are available to give their quotes, which means the NFL machine kicks up again, and that means it's content time from the people who write articles. The latest one comes from ESPN.com and Bill Barnwell, and he's talking about potential cap cuts, and Tytus Howard is on the list for the Texans. He put this in tiers, so it's not like Tytus Howard is in the top tier of guys who might be cut, but he is a relatively expensive guard who is being paid money like he's a tackle, because that's what they signed him as, but he's now playing guard for the Texans. We know injuries have dictated him moving back and forth, but if the Texans had their way, it feels like, and if the Blake Fisher hit had worked, it'd be Ursary, insert another tackle, and Tytus Howard at guard. Thanks to his position versatility, he's been able to be inside and outside depending on the demand. He doesn't save you a lot of money if you cut him. Like, his cap hit is almost $28 million. If he got cut, his dead cap would be almost 24. You're saving about $4 million to get rid of one of your starting offensive linemen. And if I believed that the Texans can go into the draft and go pick a guy who would cost you less but will play up to the level of Tytus Howard, and you'd have that player on a cost-controlled deal for years, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe take the gamble. But I don't trust anyone currently in that organization, unless there's some secret deal with Jeff Stoutland I haven't heard of, where he's going to be a consultant because he's available. I'd rather keep Tytus Howard. He cost you $4 million, but at least I know I have at minimum an average starting right guard, as opposed to letting Nick Cassero use the draft as a way to replace Tytus Howard. Look, the Ed Ingram thing somehow worked out, to the tune where he might be too expensive for you to bring back. Who could have ever predicted that Ed Ingram would be a guy who plays so well for you that now you got to question, is he really worth $15 million a year? Do I think they could get that done twice in two off seasons? Grabbing a guy off the scrap heap because money might be a little tight, and him turning into a good player for you? Well, the answer is no. My tone hadn't told you, I don't believe they can strike gold twice in that way. So if they're not getting it through the scrap heap trades, or a free agent that is cast aside by another team, that means you're doing it through the draft. And history suggests somehow even more so than tackle, because at least Ursary has some promise, that the Texans under Nick Cassero trying to draft a guard is a failed venture before it even really begins. It's a reason why you have Ed Ingram here and you brought in Laken Tomlinson, because you missed on the combo of Juice Patterson, as we call it here on this show. Scruggs and Jared Patterson, interior guys, did not work out for you. And now you're still looking for a guard that you can point to and say, he can be here for the next 5 years. I'm keeping Tytus Howard. Look, the Laramie Tunsil thing, I get. Bad culture, you want to change your culture. Although, remember, let's just remind everyone, Texans reporters would tell you that everyone liked Laramie Tunsil, at least the players did. There wasn't a bad culture, and I would agree. The players did like Laramie Tunsil. The problem is, his bosses didn't like the influence he had.
Yeah, that was always the thing of like, yeah, no, I mean, like, sure, they like him.
Yeah.
But is that a good thing that they all like
the whole point is his bosses
and he's the leader
don't want his influence
yeah.
and don't actually like that the guys like him. They would actually have preferred guys pushing back against his habits to go, hey, Laramie, that's not how we do things here.
Yeah.
That's why they made all the changes they made last year. They got rid of guys like Shaq Mason, who somehow was negatively influenced. The veteran Shaq Mason, apparently, was negatively influenced by the other veteran Laramie Tunsil to the point where they both had to go. So it worked out fine enough. Last year, would I have rather had Laramie Tunsil playing left tackle? Yes. But Arontae Arisree, year one, really no complaints for a rookie and how he played. I just don't have any faith they can get this done when you're getting rid of a guy who I know at least can play. I know I don't have a vote, but to Bill Barnwell, I say no. We keep Titus Howard here because I don't believe in the guy who is tasked with replacing him.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, just sign Tyler Linderbaum. Like, at least we know he's good. I don't need Nick Caserio
guessing,
looking for diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, he got it done. One time. Eddie Ingram. All the credit in the world for that working out for you somehow. Let's not tempt fate.
That is still one in 5 years.
I know. This is not a run of success where he can wear diamonds in the rough. He's scrubbing them up and all. Look at that, polished, yeah. And we got a really good player. I don't believe that they're capable of doing it over and over again. Not at that position. If Caserio would tell me, hey, you think I can't draft the DB? Nah, that's you, buddy.
Yeah.
You have locked that in. I got no complaints there. But the position that's protecting the most important player in the sport, as far as the position, the quarterback, nah. Go. How much is Tyler Linderbaum at 25 years old going to cost? Is it too rich for Texans blood? They probably will say, hey, Jake Andrews is our guy.
Sick. Love that. let me go watch the Patriots game again.
Sounds like you do.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, love watching those guys work in the Patriots game. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
I just think he's going to cost a ton of money, and it feels like out of their range. That's all.
Yeah.
Of course I would love him.
There's a little bit of just like,
just do it.
Fix the problem.
It's
going to be expensive. Fix the problem. If you're better at this, yes, this would be Jerry
You have
Patterson.
To pay because you are not good enough
yes.
selecting these guys in the draft where they're cheaper, and it doesn't destroy what you're trying to do cap-wise.
In most scenarios, I would just be like, yeah, just keep drafting one or two offensive linemen every year, and like eventually you'll get a good line, like an average line.
Sure.
Just doing that.
If you were the Cowboys from the 2010s.
Yeah, just most teams.
The mid-2010s, if I thought you had that capability, fine.
Even like throwing darts on the board, you'd be better. Like if you just, like dumb luck, you would have more than one hit
five
drafts.
I take them hitting on a replacement level player. These are whiffs. Kenyon Green, Patterson, Scruggs. Blake Fisher's now relegated to being the sixth O-lineman and tight end. We'll see what he is in year three, particularly if the Bill Barnwell plan that he lays out potentially comes together, where now Blake Fisher becomes imminently more important because he may have to start.
Yeah.
As it stands, he doesn't have to start, and let's keep it that way.
These guys, like, can't play. Like, they're not even disappointing picks. Like, they just, like, are unplayable in the NFL.
What game was it where they ran – did they run Juice Scruggs out there for like a drive or two, and he got absolutely destroyed.
Oh,
who was that?
No, that was the Jags game.
It was a guy we had never heard, Sooty Sal or whatever.
Yeah,
some guy we had never heard of.
Yeah.
And how's this guy starting?
He played nine plays.
And he was so bad, and I think we talked about it. What did he show in practice that made you think he could handle this? And then you had to take him out after nine plays. So it wasn't one of their draft picks. But it was so bad, they played that guy first.
Yeah, no, that's part of it, is that – They've drafted, what, I mean, at least three guards off the top of our head. And they were like, you know what? City Sal gives us the best chance to win. Like, that's bad. That's the fact that you had to play that guy isn't good. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just it feels like we're feels like we've been in the Nick Caserio world long enough to where we just kind of like, we get how this goes where, you know, the next awesome starter or even like good, definitively good starter they draft on the offensive line will be the first.
Yeah, we'll see if Ursary can back
like, up. Ursary's fine. Like,
yeah, he's fine, but he's like, not.
Yeah.
He's not okay. He's not
it's like
a
C plus.
He's
you
not,
know?
He's not like he didn't have Gray Zabel's season, stuff exactly. like that, where you're like, okay, that's a lock cinch starter for the next 10 years if he
again,
stays around.
The bar is so low that it's like he is playable. He can play on an NFL field without wrecking your offensive line.
Yes. And that's what we have to live with right now.
Oh, yeah. It is disappointing that
you know, we were having this conversation last year, and they still traded Laremy Tunsil. We're still talking about how could you do this when, but we knew the other stuff. But the national perspective was, why would you do this? This offensive line wasn't good. How could you trade your best player? And they would say, we got better by the subtraction. I don't believe Titus Howard's the type of bad influence that Laremy Tunsil was. I don't know that the Texans have any interest in making that move. He is an expensive player who is being paid. And not playing to the level that he's being paid at, but you can't be choosy when you're a beggar.
It's just so sad that we just can't even like talk ourselves into getting above average offensive line play.
When's the last time the Texans were an above average offensive line?
I don't want to say 2012, but this is the last time, off the top.
Like we're not taking. Like, could it have been possible that the like Cully Lovey lines were average or above average. We just didn't notice because all the other nonsense that was going on.
I feel like they would be a little bit better if they had better lines. Like if they
I
had,
guess.
If they had decent lines, like they would have won like 5 or 6 games.
Maybe. Probably right. Although.
Maybe like 2019, like the first Tunsil year.
Probably. You mean when they made the trade?
When they traded for Tunsil. Maybe that. It's like, but the thing is, Deshaun Watson would always take a bunch of sacks, but that was a little bit. Sacks are.
I went to 2021. That Mac Sharping started. He got better when he left. Charlie Heck started 13 games.
Yeah, no.
Now it wasn't 2011.
For that reason,
I am
out.
Not 2011. That line, no way that was good.
Or 21.
2021, not good.
2011, I know they were good.
2022, Tunsil was still there, but they also, and now 2021 was the year that Tunsil missed a lot of games, too.
Yeah.
2022, guys like AJ Cann started games, Scott Questenberry, Kenyon Green. Nope. Not then.
No, I think we're going to have to go pre-Casario.
COVID year?
Another four-win team.
Martin, Zach Fulton, Titus Howard, Deshaun Watson had a great offensive year. They didn't win many games, but they did have a quarterback who had a great year. I would say with Laremy Tunsil, Mac Sharping, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton, Titus Howard, I'd give that average at least. I think that's the last time they had a potentially above-average offensive line. I don't remember the 2020 season very well. It's COVID. Don't blame anyone for not remembering. Yeah. Much.
They're 4-12.
And they were bad, but they're
fired,
off.
Bill O'Brien 4 games in.
Yes. But their quarterback had a great year. Was he running for his life? I can't really remember. I would have to look up how many sacks he took. But either way, it has not been great. We are hoping for average, and getting rid of Titus Howard doesn't make me feel like we'll get there.
And like average is like it feels like a reach goal. You know, it feels like that.
Yeah, we're
like,
striving for average.
That's the like. As below it stands, average is more likely.
As it stands now, we're striving for average.
Merely below average. Like, last year's line, again, is basically like where it's like, this is below average. It's not.
And you might be worse
on fire
if you don't want to pay Ed Ingram apparently what he's going to command.
Yeah, you might have like an actual hole to fill. Like, you're adding a hole to fill from last year's merely below average line.
What would it be like to be a Lions fan? Probably a lot of misery, but at least you knew it wasn't coming from your own line.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like so concentrated on like this, which is arguably the most important part of the football.
For a young quarterback who has some questions he has to answer, having a line that will protect him and he feels confident behind is a pretty big deal.
It's the one thing that I like feel pretty confident that they will not be good at. Every other position, I'm like, I can see the, like, yeah, maybe running back is a little tough to be like, they'll be a good running back team. Some of that you know, dependent on the offensive line. So even that one, it's not fully the running back's position's fault. But yeah, it's like on defense, like, yeah, there's every position group. Feel good. This seems awesome. Offense, receivers, yeah. Love Nico Collins. Let's see what the Iowa State guys can do.
Maybe we'll see what about Tank Dell.
Tank Dell coming back. Like, every other position I can kind of like, yep.
This you talk is, yourself into
this
things.
This is at least NFL average or better. Seven offensive line. Just can't even, I can't even see how they get there.
Like a...
Other than...
An overhaul.
You nail every pick, but...
Well, we know that's not happening.
If that happens, I am fully chalking up NFL draft to, like, it is just dumb luck. No one's actually good at the draft or bad at the draft. It is just, if you pick enough times, you will have hot streaks and cold.
Like, if they draft, they attack off the line through the draft and draft two starters
yeah,
who are good.
Just like,
it's okay, okay, it's dumb luck. Yeah.
It there's nothing I can say to this.
That's where we are, people. At least that's where this show
for
is.
Dumb luck.
Just, I mean, it's better than.
It's all we got, you know?
Bad certainty, which is what we've gotten so far in the Nick Cicero regime. Bad picks, bad results.
I am certain they are bad.
Yes. That's what we've gotten.
Kenyon Green, when he got traded to the Eagles, there's probably like 2 weeks where we're like, what if the Eagles, like,
because it's Kenyon Jeff Stoutland. Like, what if Jeff Stoutland fixes them?
If any team in the league was going to, like...
Man, it didn't work there either.
No, he got cut before C.J. Gardner-Johnson did.
Who lasted all of what?
Two games?
Yeah.
Or I guess he got cut in the Jags game. Or not in, but after the Jags game.
Yeah.
Because of what he did, tearing.
Yeah, apparently he wasn't conducive to coaching either. He wanted to be more freewheeling.
No.
Which is something they were trying to avoid because of their... shockingly wanting to avoid big plays, giving up. Odd how a defense wants to avoid that.
What a weird defense.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was like, whatever.
Let me take this to Chicago.
Let me be me.
I'll be glad to have.
And brought a lot of luck, it feels like. Chicago's a team I look at next year and go, they can't possibly get away with this again. Like, they may just be better and it won't matter.
Yeah.
But if we're just looking
they're
at it,
doing that again.
They're not doing whatever they did to make the playoffs and then win a playoff game again. That's impossible. All the times where they were down by multiple scores late in games and still won. And the legend of Caleb Williams started to grow. We'll see what he does in year three. All right, we'll go to break with that. When we come back, we'll get to some Texan stuff a little bit later, but there's some rule changes that the NFL has said no to, where the more progressive league, the UFL, is like, you know what, we'll do them. And, Sean, have you heard of the account Two Stripes CPD?
No.
It is a college football account that all it does is like showcase things from the BCS era.
Okay.
There's a tough screenshot that's going to hit close to home. I couldn't even believe it was real until I saw it. Then I realized, oh, yeah, this guy stunk in big games. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So I mentioned Two Stripe CPD. And if you don't know what it is, it doesn't have a giant following as it stands, but they have their logo, and it's reminiscent of the BCS logo during that era. And they just throw in their name in it. And this came across the timeline for me, and I couldn't believe it when it happened. This guy is now on Pro Football Talk. He's evaluating quarterbacks. He does the back and forth with Mike Florio. Of course, I'm talking about Chris Sims. And we know Chris Sims' era at Texas was with Major in the shadows, sometimes at the forefront, depending on the game. The Chris Sims era at Texas was marked with some low lows. He wound up throwing 58 touchdowns in his career. And, of course, remember, back then, sure, you had Chris Sims, got the big arm, Texas recruited receivers, but it was a different game back then. So 26 touchdowns in a season, big deal. Less so now. 28. So he had the 26 in his senior year. 58 overall, 31 picks. That's a lot of picks compared to touchdowns. We know Chris Sims had some problems throwing the ball to the other team. I remember that. What I did not remember was this. There's a graphic that popped up, and of course, a caption from the account is, "We've never seen a worse big game quarterback." And you know what? If the stats are real, they're so bad you think they're fake, but it has all the markings of real because has the ABC graphics on it from that time period. All that stuff is recognizable.
It'd be an amazing Photoshop. Yes. If this is fake.
Yes. Even the background looks non-HD. All of it fits the profile of being real.
It looks like it's straight from 2001.
Yes. Versus non-top 10 teams, and this is in the middle of his career, so it wasn't complete, but it was getting there. It was 28 games, completion percentage of 59%, 42 TDs in 28 games, only 10 picks.
Yeah. Good for the era.
That's good for the era. Versus top 10 teams, 5 games, a completion percentage of 53%. Okay, well, fine. Lesser, you're playing better teams.
Yeah, a little bit worse. But yeah.
0 touchdowns. That's not great.
No, not good.
15 interceptions versus top 10 teams in 5 games. I remember it being bad. I remember Major having to come in against Colorado in the Big 12 title game where they could have played Miami in the national title game if they had won. I remember that stuff. I remember Roy Williams. Okay, I'm a college football guy. I remember it. But 15 picks in 5 games and no touchdowns at this point in his career? That's a screenshot Chris Sims wish never existed. The account's not a giant account, so it only has 4,000 followers, 4,000 plus followers. Only has 195 retweets. Not a big account, but it has been seen over 132,000 times, and it is an egregious screenshot for Chris
Sims.
There's
also almost 200 bookmarks.
Anytime Chris Sims says anything about a quarterback, about how he plays poorly in big games, they're like, excuse me?
Yeah.
They're going to have this. He's going to have this inundating his mentions.
I mean, his job is criticizing NFL.
That is what he's there for, to talk about quarterbacks coming up in the draft, guys who play on Sundays. That's what he's there for on Pro Football Talk. He's a quarterback guy.
I dare him to have some questions about Fernando Mendoza against Ohio State.
I bet you he will. I mean, that's part of the game, right?
I've seen it.
That's part of the game. He's going to talk about quarterbacks. He will have to talk about the clear number one pick and give critiques. Maybe he's all in. We'll see. But he's gonna talk about Fernando Mendoza struggling against the best competition he's faced. Good luck.
I don't know what's funnier. Him like being like, you can't play this poorly, like, and be the number one pick. Or
he would know. He wasn't the number one pick.
Yeah, or him being like, listen, I understand. Just being like, for me, he actually looked pretty good.
Like, I don't know if he had more top 10. His career wasn't over. I don't know how many more top 10 games he had. So those numbers might have changed for the worse or the better. Who knows? But through five games,
there's a trend,
averaging 3 picks a game, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns in 5 games. Like, basically any 5 games is pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Like, even if you're playing.
Just on accident.
And it's not like he's the quarterback of Northern Illinois at the time. He's a quarterback of Texas. He could have tripped into a touchdown throw at some point. And yet.
So sometimes, because this is, you know, before my time as like a sentient football fan with opinions.
Sure.
I did always think that like the older members of my family were overreacting a little bit to the Chris Sims Major Applewhite stuff. I might owe them an apology. Looking at
Come on, man.
Chris Sims is so lucky that Twitter was not invented for another, 10 years after this. Could you imagine a guy with this resume?
People talk about, Carson Beck's going to do the Carson Beck thing. And, of course, he eventually did it in his final throw of a tough way to go out.
Yeah,
final
but throw. He didn't do it for 5 straight games.
Yeah, and he was on the verge of maybe another comeback.
Yeah.
Chris Sims doesn't survive A&M.
No.
He doesn't survive Pitt. They weren't top 10. But he doesn't get there considering how, forget about it. There's no reason to even have the comp. Beck won a lot of big games.
There's not really a comp.
Not for this, no. A guy who kept getting opportunities for a team who had national title hopes. Of course, the name meant something. The recruiting ranking meant certainly a lot. We know about the Major Applewhite story. For those who are older than Sean, you know about it. That Major was the lesser of the recruits, the older player, and was known as being a big-time player. But you got to get out of the way because Chris Sims is coming to town. It's to a lesser extent what would have happened if Sark had thrown Quinn Ewers out of there 2 seasons ago, as opposed to telling Quinn, hey, either go to the NFL or go find another college job. Arch has got to play. And Arch didn't shine early, but of course he got better.
He threw a touchdown against Ohio State.
At least. Yeah, he wasn't great.
In top 10 game number one, he got a touchdown.
Yeah, so there was no chance of being Chris Sims.
Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
I
don't know.
It's best this happened 24 years ago, 25 years ago.
I don't think I could
if you were
take them seriously. I watched these games.
No, I sort of remember them. But this was back even when college football was getting more national, where the games are on everywhere. But this was still regional.
There's still some FSN games.
Yeah, like whatever, you didn't have the opportunity, like for me growing up in California, where you could see every Texas game. So I wasn't watching all the disasters. Like even the Red River, there might have been a game. Maybe they're all on TV or national TV when I was at the time, because they're both national title contenders. But you didn't get to see all the Chris Sims failures.
And you definitely didn't get live look at all the people who were watching, more emotionally invested.
Reacting on Twitter, videos being filmed of themselves watching Chris Sims throw pick after pick.
People talking whatever face to the camera after the game.
Yeah,
but they're like,
everyone has a reaction video about what they've just seen. Different era, man. Thankfully for him.
They don't really. I mean. You'd be hard pressed to find.
This man started games in the NFL.
Yeah, he made the playoffs in the NFL.
Like John Gruden, I think. Wasn't he with the Bucks?
Yeah, it was the 06 Bucks.
Yeah. John Gruden. Watch the film, bro. And yet, look at
him
now.
He only watched the non-top 10.
You look pretty good then.
Yeah, that's 28 games. That's most of the sample size.
There's much more evidence of him being a good quarterback than there is being a bad quarterback. Or the worst quarterback ever.
The worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I honestly can't comprehend.
I don't.
Averaging 3 interceptions a game.
Yeah, only at the time, there weren't as many content creators as there are now. YouTube didn't even exist. Could you imagine what a Texas hater would have done with the compilation clips of Chris Sims and his worst moments if YouTube was a thing?
I feel like back Texas then. Fans would have done it. Like everyone would just be like,
yeah, that too.
After game 5 of top 10 game with no touchdowns and now 15 interceptions. How is he allowed to walk around campus safely?
I don't know what happened.
Do they have armed guards around?
Yeah, I don't know what happened after that Colorado Big 12 title game where it had fallen to them where if they beat the Buffaloes who were hot because they had taken out Nebraska, or they were going to get to play in the national title. They're set. They're going to go to the Rose Bowl and play Miami. They were the next team up, and he was a disaster.
It's like the C.J. Stroud, and this is, by the way, two C.J. Stroud games? So what if you did that all the time? Just every time?
Every time you saw playoff-level team.
Like we talked about, just getting merely average quarterback play, and you might win the Patriots game. Just merely average against Colorado, and you play for the national championship.
And they had their major almost brought him back.
Yeah.
It wound up being 39-37, but could not get it done. And Texas ain't beating Miami in that game, but at least you get to the national title game. Instead, just another one on the Chris Sims rack of awfulness.
Now I want to see more disgusting quarterback stats.
Well, I don't know if two stripe CPD.
That's what their beat should be.
We'll continue to do that. Pull quarterbacks we've heard of stats from that time period because we don't remember them.
Show me some Orlovsky stats. All right,
he played at UConn. It's whatever.
Yeah, he probably did crush.
He played at UConn and wound up as a college an NFL quarterback. There's no way he was as bad as Chris Sims. He didn't get the opportunities. UConn wasn't playing top 5 teams. But either way, I saw that and couldn't believe it, but it's real. We'll go to break with that. We will we'll go back to the sport Chris Sims talks about all the time, the NFL, because some rules that you would have hoped would change, not going anywhere. Although the UFL with the Houston Gamblers are going to ban a couple of things that maybe the NFL adopts after another year of people complaining because it can't be officiated correctly. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this tweet comes from Adam Schefter. Early this morning, the NFL no longer discussing banning the tush push. The UFL will announce today that it's eliminating the tush push. So the UFL, if they haven't already, will say, you can't do that anymore. And I think they're also going to make, is it 6-yard field goals, 4 points? So they are doing things. NFL is like, you know what? I know we can't really officiate this thing. No one really likes it too much. Or they're the people go, if you can't stop it, then we really shouldn't get rid of it because you can't stop it. But our referees don't know how to referee it. Sure, guys line up all sides all the time, offense and defense, and we don't call it. False starts happen quite a bit. We don't throw flags for that. We're keeping it in. That's my problem with it. If they could officiate it correctly, I wouldn't complain. Probably because I only see the Eagles play either the Texans or the team I grew up rooting for once every 4 years. So I don't have to deal with it very much. The Bills do it, whatever. Okay. But not to the extent where every time it's 3rd and 1, the Eagles are doing it, or 4th and 1. You're going to go for it on your own 28 because you know you can get it? Okay, that can get annoying if you're an NFC East fan or an NFC fan. But I don't mind it. Make sure it's 3rd or 4th and 3 instead if you want to stop them from doing it. But it's something that apparently the NFL can't figure out how to adjudicate. So that's why I would vote to get rid of it until a referee can prove to me that they know what they're doing and can properly allow the play to run, get it out of here. But it's not going anywhere.
It does feel like it's been 2 years of during every regular season, we're like, oh yeah, they're taking this out. There's no way they keep this play in. And then in the offseason,
when we get to it,
it's like pretty, it's like not even that dramatic too. It's like, nope,
not a chance.
Not doing it. And if I'm the UFL, this is very smart. I would just do like whatever the
general public is a fan of, the NFL won't do
the opposite. Just like, actually, we don't allow that here. Actually, we do allow XYZ here. Yeah. You know, like just actually, we're the cool league.
In fact,
we're the league with Twitter.
In fact, we got a special deal with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. Yeah, Jacked Up is back.
Yeah,
we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We're an ESPN product.
Whatever.
We're going to do Jacked Up. Bring that back.
Yeah, we have no problem doing Jacked Up.
Yeah. In fact, we welcome it.
Even though these guys are making like $60,000 a year.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Entertainment value. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's what they should do. They should just, every rule change that people are like, wouldn't it be cool if XYZ, they do it.
This is nothing to do with anything, but I pulled up Tom Jackson, you know, just to make sure he's still alive while we're talking about him. He may need to get to Google because they have him listed as 5 feet tall. That's tough for an NFL linebacker to be former NFL linebacker to be 5 feet tall.
He can't.
Now, no, he's not. I go to his wiki, he's 5'11". He was short for today's time period, but he was 5'11". But if you just go to his overview, 5'0". I was like, I know you.
Is that another Tom Jackson?
I don't know. But it is all of it. Drafted by the Broncos. Played for the University of Louisville. It's all the facts, except for the fact that they have him 11 inches shorter than he's actually supposed to be, at least. I know college heights and even NFL heights back then were a little funny. They kind of messed with the numbers. Don't think they did it for 11 inches worth of Tom Jackson. So he's still alive. I think the UFL should get him and Berman to do a Sunday night show and have a Jacked Up segment.
Get him a booster chair if he needs it.
I don't. I saw him on primetime way back when. Speaking of nostalgia, he was not a guy who needed a booster chair.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
It also would have made more sense if he was 6 foot flat. And maybe it's just a typo.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know how. 5'11"? Maybe. You're right. Maybe the 5 should have been a 6. But either way.
Let's get on that, Google. I don't know. It's not like Wikipedia where like you can edit
Someone can go in there and edit it. Someone needs to. If I'm Tom Jackson, what are we doing?
I'm making a call.
Yeah. I would look into that. So it is a Nick Caserio day. In fact, we have sound from him. I throw it on the rundown, Sean. We're just going to take it as it is. It's from Aaron Wilson's account. We're not going to play all of it, but it's the first time he was able to respond to the speculation regarding CJ Stroud. I listened to the Todd McShay thing. he was part of the buildup that led to, hey, would anyone even really do this? I mean, for the most part, locally, we all thought it was kind of silly. It just didn't make sense for the Texans to do it. And if frankly, if you're a team looking at CJ's latest performances, why would you be so desperate to give up picks and then have to pay him? The Texans should be the ones questioning whether they are willing to give him what he's likely to command. But Nick Caserio is available. He has to answer questions. This comes from Aaron Wilson's account. Here is Nick Caserio on a variety of topics, but he did address the CJ Stroud trade talk.
Well, I mean, Nick's a free agent, so we got three guys under contract right now. We got Woody, you know, coming back. He had a good year. He's the leading rusher, so for a rookie, that's pretty good. Jawar Jordan's under contract. Brady's under contract. Dara's a free agent. Nick Chubb's a free agent. So, I mean, we only got three guys that are on the team currently. We're probably going to have more than three players on the team. So, you know, where did that player come from? Free agency could be one mechanism. Draft could be another mechanism. Is there a trade market for somebody out there? So that's kind of where we are for today.
Feels like you guys made some progress on the offensive line, headed towards where you wanted to go last year. Still maybe some work to be done, maybe some ability to move the ball on the ground, things like that. Where do you kind of see the offensive line? And they have some free agents.
You can keep it up, Sean.
You know, maybe the potential investment there.
I think you articulated very well. You know, certainly made some improvements. You know, probably a little bit better pass protection in the run game. Run game was a little bit up and down. So if we can improve some areas in a running game, you know, just relative to the overall offensive production, it'll probably help us. Ed's a free agent. That's probably one of the key guys. I mean, Ed's a free agent. Trent's a free agent. Ed had a really good year. Honestly, had the best year of his career. So, you know, that's a position we're going to probably have to evaluate and kind of see what our options are. Have some players coming back. You know, played pretty good football. Ariante went in there and, you know, probably played as good as any rookie tackle. So, have some good young players. Have some veterans in there. Have some guys that are free agents. So, we're kind of, you know, working through that process right now. You know, we'll kind of see where we end up.
That's Nick Caserio on the running backs on the offensive line. We talked quite a bit about the offensive line earlier on the show. We'll get to him on the other side talking about C.J. Stroud and addressing something that's rightfully so. He called it moronic. It was silly season talk, and the GM will address it in that manner. We'll hear from him when we come back. As far as the running backs, he mentioned Nick Chubb being a free agent, talked about Woody Marks and Jawar Jordan. Said they're going to have more than three guys on the roster. Well, if you go by Mel Kiper, he says Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love. No, Jadarian Price, I believe. Jeremiah Love, I think, is slated to be a higher pick. Let me make sure. He did mock a Notre Dame running back to the Texans. I just want to make sure. No, yeah, Jadarian Price, the kick returner, complimentary back to Jeremiah Love. Mel Kiper has the Texans taking him at number 28 overall. Lance Erline, our preeminent draft expert, beggar of a key to the city. He has desperation around him like Pigpen had the stench and dirt cloud around him. If you missed it this morning, he is desperate for a key to a city. Not because he really wants one. He's just upset because one of his radio friends has one in L.A. A guy he mentioned somewhat, quite a bit. Matt Money Smith apparently has a key to the city. Now Lance wants one. That's the Lance that is not a very serious person. The guy who does the evaluating of NFL prospects, you can listen to him, and he thinks Jadarian Price could be Javonte Williams, the back who just got paid by the Cowboys, former draft pick by the Broncos, had a really productive career at North Carolina, broke a lot of tackles at North Carolina, got hurt, but then got paid by the Cowboys. Lance thinks this player, who Mel Kiper is mocking to the Texans, Jadarian Price, could be that type of player. And the Texans have a need at back, at the running back position. They got Woody Marks and a bunch of guys. And less so when you think about Nick Chubb being a free agent and Joe Mixon being a guy with an uncertain future. So maybe Jadarian Price is someone they look at taking a running back late in the first round. All right, we'll go to break. We'll hear from Nick Caserio a little bit more talking about C.J. Stroud. We'll get to that when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 90.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the sound we played going to break was Nick Caserio among, as you might say, a gaggle of reporters. They surrounded him. He was asked questions. He answered regarding multiple things. We heard him talk about the running back room and the O-line situation. He went on to call trade speculation about C.J. Stroud moronic, and he's their quarterback. C.J. Stroud is their quarterback. Well, the clip you're going to hear is of him up on the stage, a little bit more formal. He answered questions, but the answers were much in line with what you might expect. C.J. isn't going anywhere. Here's Nick Caserio on his quarterback.
He's our quarterback. Like, he ain't going anywhere. We have a lot of confidence, a lot of belief. I mean, I'd say the philosophy that D'Amico and I have, we're going to support our players and do everything we can to kind of help them. And this league's about ups and downs. I mean, nothing's perfect. I mean, there's no team that's undefeated unless I miss something this year. So like, that's not going to happen. You know, by and large, we're probably going to lose 5 or 6 games. Going to be some margin on either side. You're going to have some good plays, you're going to have some bad plays, you're going to have some good games, you're going to have some bad games. Okay, how do you bounce back? How do you handle that? So it's just, I mean, this league is a one game at a time proposition, and how you handle it, every situation, ultimately is going to determine your success and your longevity. So no loss, I mean, look, the stock market's been going down for 5 days, so everybody's probably panic selling. So, you know, really what you're doing is you're investing more. So, but anyways, we have a lot of confidence in CJ, we got a lot of confidence in our players, and everybody's our quarterback. Go ahead.
I'm not anyone who has any expertise in the stock market. I watch industry, but don't understand it at all. Is what he said true? As it continues to go down, you just invest more?
I mean, you're buying low. Like, you have the opportunity to buy low. It's a little bit different with quarterbacks because it's like guys just might not be able to, like, cut it in the league.
Sure.
And those are the guys that are performing the worst, so you shouldn't invest in those.
You shouldn't invest $54 million plus a year, or however many millions it'll be.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was asked the question because we're just getting the clips as we find them. All he said was what he said was fine, predictable. CJ's your guy. He's your guy until he isn't. And why would you even entertain the thought of trading him if that is not in the plans? Was he asked about the willingness to go high on the investment? I don't know. So I'm not judging. I don't know if we'll get that question and answer. Considering everyone believes Will Anderson, if it doesn't happen immediately this offseason, it'll happen at some point that he's going to get a deal. And if it has to stretch into next season, there's no question that Will Anderson is going to get a lot of money from the Texans. The question is about the quarterback. So the words, predictable, understandable. He would have said nothing else. The actions are gonna tell the story. No one really believes CJ Stroud's in a position to ask for a big deal here. But if we hear that conversations are ongoing or some side wants to start him, what are they willing to go? Where are they willing to go, So I think the easy part is saying he's your quarterback. The commitment to that quarterback, the investment, as he would put it, in that quarterback is of question. And while he said you'll have good days, you'll have bad days, ups and downs, you could lose 5 to 6 games, that's kind of what's expected per year. When your quarterback performs in a way that people are talking about it in a historical perspective, much like our very own Chris Sims, and he's now our quarterback since we mentioned him earlier, our very own Chris Sims.
I don't know if I want him.
Well, the way he plays against big-time teams, yeah, I don't want him. But he is our guy, at least for today. When we're talking about performances at that level of ineptitude, it's not just simply you have good days and bad days. You had days, and Lance talked about it this morning, you had days that may affect how your teammates perceive you. The words are great, much like Caserio. The words coming out of the Texans, we support a guy. I don't know if we played the clip from Dalton Schultz. We might have, where he talked about how it wasn't all CJ's fault. He said, I got injured. Other players didn't play as well. He had guys in his lap that led to some of the poor play, and that's correct. But CJ gets one mulligan, I think, this season was a mulligan. You're an elite defense. I've never seen it not happen where if the quarterback begins to be a reason why you can't accomplish things that you're very well capable of if you get good quarterback play, I've never seen it not become a thing. Even if the team doesn't want it to become a thing, people like us and the fans will make it a thing. Fans were very vocal, and then they watched the rest of the playoffs and saw the opportunity slip through their fingers. Right or wrong, C.J. Stroud is looked at as the reason this team didn't make a Super Bowl. I don't know if they beat the Seahawks. We saw the matchup earlier this year. The Texans were kind of run off the field. But missing out on a Super Bowl because your quarterback couldn't be average is something people aren't going to forget. And I wonder if the players will be more forgiving because that's their guy. They go to all the cliches. We go to war with him. We back him. We love him. All that stuff. You get the one. If it happens again, I don't think the Texans will have a decision to make. It'll be pretty easy. You can't have a guy be looked at as a reason your team can't reach their final goal. Particularly if he plays awful. Like if he's average and you don't win, okay, that's football. But it wasn't average.
No. And that's why, like, to me, like, you really can't commit anything to him this offseason because, like, you need to see. Like, you need to see what this guy is. You can't, you know, sign a deal for just consistency's sake and he's our guy's sake. And it's like, well, if he does it again, is he still your guy?
You give him the fifth-year option. That's the way you say he's your guy. You don't give him the long-term deal to say he's your guy until he proves otherwise. And if he gets more expensive because you made him wait, cool.
Great problem to have. Great. That means you probably went farther than any Texans team in history.
I mean, if it becomes a thing where CJ can hold you over a barrel because you waited, I'm good. I'm glad because that means whatever happened in the playoffs and really in some ways the last 2 years where he hasn't taken a step forward, that stuff's out the way. And this was just a little dip. Nick Caley in year two figured it out. Nico Collins, great again. Not that he was bad. Tank Dell's back and performing. All those things come together. Give him his $58 million, whatever it's going to be per year, and we can move on. You have to fix your roster in other ways now because you won't have the money to spend, but that's a good problem to have. Let's hope we get there. But he mentioned investment. We'll see. I would say hold. Hold.
Yeah, I don't think you need to buy more.
Yeah, not at the moment.
I feel like that's one I can't get in his brain. I feel like the metaphor got away from him there. Where, like, he wanted to just say, like, everyone's panicking.
We're going to double down.
Yeah.
Is what, like, he probably should have said.
Yeah. It's like, he's saying buy the dip. Is that what he's saying? saying sign all the bad players?
I don't know.
That used to be good? Is that what he's saying?
He got Ed Ingram. He bought on that when it was at a very low stock price. And look what happened.
Now I hope he's okay buying high on Will Anderson, though. I will say, I hope he's okay with that.
Yeah. Invest in that.
Blue chip.
Yeah, that's a blue chip stock. All right, we're done for the day. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred him, Stroud!
He's our guy.
We can only hope we get to play that far more often in 2026 than
we did. Got the vote of confidence.
We like college football. We know what that actually means. Vote of confidence don't end well for the person. Mac supported Chris Sims quite a bit until he couldn't anymore in certain games. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen's up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.